Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and today we are addressing a reader question, and as always, I welcome your questions. You can send them to me, sexwithtimmery@gmail.com, Facebook/sexwithtimmery. You can either send me a private message there or write it on the wall if you feel so bold. And if you can, if it's short enough, you could tweet it at me. So at Timmery, T-I-M-A-R-E underscore L-E-I-G-H. I always welcome your questions and your comments and your violent reactions. So feel free to hit me up. So today's question comes from a reader who wants to know about bisexuality. And their question is, if they identify as bisexual, does that mean that they can never be monogamous? That for the rest of their life, are they going to be doomed to be unhappy? Can a bisexual person be monogamous, ultimately, is the question. But larger, this sort of brings up the question, is there a connection between polyamory, open relationships, and bisexuality in general? And to answer that, maybe, possibly, it's kind of up to you. So let's look at, first of all, the question of open relationships and polyamory. Because anybody of any stripe, of any orientation, whether it be sexual orientation or if you have a particular kink or, you know, however it is that you would like to organize your sexual life, you could be asexual and be polyamorous. I mean, you can do kind of whatever you want. That's what's awesome. What's awesome is being free to make those choices outside of the idea that whatever label you choose, if you choose to have a label, whatever term you use to identify yourself, that doesn't determine what your choices are. What determines what your choices are your partners. Who's available to you? Who wants to get it on? What makes them comfortable? What can you negotiate together to find a mutually beneficial, reciprocal, respectful situation where everybody feels like their needs are being met, or at least where everybody's satisfied by the goings-on and is agreeing to it happening? So to just further drive home the points, whatever you decide to do, whether it be a monogamous situation, whether you decide that you want to have a polyfidelity situation, which is where you are in a committed relationship with multiple people and you have specific bounds, much as a monogamous couple would, only specific people are partners to you, or if you want to have a more open network where you have relationships, but your sexual relationships can be with other people. The limits are purely what you negotiate. They are not laws. There is no specific thing that is right for everyone. Not everyone's meant to be poly, much as not everyone's meant to be monogamous. And that is completely unrelated to your sexual orientation. So going back specifically to the reader question, so bisexual person, are you doomed? Are you doomed? Are you doomed to be unhappy because you have partners who are monogamous? Well, not necessarily. I mean, you have several options here, aside from the fact that you still could negotiate some sort of arrangement. Not to say that, you have to talk your monogamous partners into doing something that makes them unhappy. What I always suggest when people are talking about doing something that adds a twist or that's pushing somebody's buttons or is outside of boxes that you are familiar with is to really think about not necessarily what label do you want to now ascribe to yourself, what box do you want to jump into now, but rather what is it you want to get out of this? So rather than being like, oh, what I want is to be poly because that lifestyle looks cool and it looks like it's very freeing and then you don't have to lie and it's based around this brave honesty and this communication and like that's what I want, really thinking about, what do you hope to get out of it? Is it a specific person you want to spend more time with? Is it a particular sexual act you're trying to get? Is it simply the freedom to sleep with other people? What is it that you want to get out of this conversation? What do you hope that your partner will be cool with? Because as we've mentioned on the show before, sometimes when people are in opposition, partners are discussing something and it looks like they're just at loggerheads, like one person wants something that is mutually exclusive to what the other person wants. Reconceptualizing it by thinking about the deeper feelings underneath that can be really helpful. So the example that I often give is, let's say you really, really, really want to live in New York City and your partner really, really, really wants to live in San Diego. The solution is not to move to Kansas, because no one wins then. Just because that's the compromise place, just because that's halfway for both people, does not mean that that is going to be a good solution. I mean, it might be. But what you ultimately want to ask is, what is it that you get out of New York? What is it that you want out of San Diego? And if you discover that the reason one person wanted to live in New York is because they want a big city and they want a vibrant art scene, and then the person who wants to live in San Diego is like, I need to live by the beach and I want to have quick access to Mexican food, what you might find is the answer is to move to LA, or maybe the answer is to move to some spot in Texas. Maybe it's Miami. The solution is not always compromise. The solution is thinking about what is behind your wishes in the first place. So let's just assume you're a bisexual person and you're dating someone who is monogamous, and you're now thinking, well, is that the deal? Like, is this my only option now? Maybe. But that's the same for your partner too. If they are agreeing to be with you monogamously, that means they're also shutting doors. And those doors are probably also awesome doors. The other people that your partner might hook up with might also be very cool, but they have decided that the best method of keeping you in their life is by not having those other doors be options. That they think that the best way to facilitate a romantic and sexual relationship is in an exclusive way. That's not to say that those other doors aren't cool or that they aren't attracted to those other doors, but simply that this is the best way to be fully in this relationship. That's generally what a monogamous person believes, is that you can only really give your all in that situation, and that's what they're agreeing to. So remember that a monogamous person is also giving up some options as well. And so it's up to you, as the bisexual person, or as the straight person or gay person or genderqueer or whatever you want to call yourself, it's up to you to decide if that's a relationship situation in which you will also be satisfied. It's not a matter of giving up, because everybody gives up. If you're not gives up, everybody closes some doors anytime you're in a relationship. Even if you're poly, by hooking up with one person in Fargo, North Dakota, you literally cannot be fucking somebody in Tokyo. Like, it's just true. By making any choice, other choices are not available. And that's not a tragedy. It's about being just present and committed in the moment and getting out of it what you can and putting into it what you can. So just thinking about this rather than like, oh, all the things I could have done that I can't do, thinking about what it is that you want and will this get you what you both want and facilitate it for both of you to be happy. This also brings us to the larger question of bisexuality as an overall construct, and talking about a lot of the mythology around bisexuality. And one of the first ones is, of course, that bi people are inherently poly or inherently promiscuous. These things aren't true. The research doesn't bear it out. There doesn't seem to really be a huge correlation between orientation and number of partners, so much as, you know, just openness to experience is often related to number of partners. So somebody who identifies as bi might be just more open to trying things, really, is one way to put it. Because bisexuality is a term that is kind of broad, and you can identify as bi and still lean very heavily one way or the other. And just because you're strongly sexually attracted to one gender doesn't mean you necessarily want to date them, and vice versa. So someone might use that term, but it doesn't mean that you know what they're into, because what somebody does, what somebody identifies as, and what is in their brain as the thing that turns their switch might all be different, and their terminology might be different than yours. So bi is a really broad term, and it encompasses kind of anybody who's not exclusively straight or exclusively gay. So someone might actually use the term on their way from one to the other, but that doesn't mean that everybody who uses the term bi is choosing between one or the other, which gets actually to our next myth, that there is no such thing as bi, that it's just a term taken for a while as a mantle between deciding to come out as gay or before you decide that you're straight. Also not true. People can be attracted to individuals regardless of gender, or gender might be a secondary interest, might be not the sole source of one's arousal. You can feel romantic, spiritual, and sexual attraction for someone because of, in spite of, or also along with their gender. There's also a sort of mythology that everybody's bisexual. And I mean, there's something to be said for the idea that everybody has, you know, has more flexibility than they might initially think. There's certainly something to be said for not putting yourself in a box, because you could always find an exception. That's certainly true. But ultimately, that idea comes from probably ultimately Kinsey's research, where we found there was a spectrum of sexual orientation, which was revolutionary at the time. The idea that you weren't either gay or straight, that binary, but rather it was on a scale of 0 to 6. And he really found that there aren't a lot of people who fall into exclusive on either end. But that's not to say that most people are bi, just that they might have a little bit more heteroflexibility than they initially suspected. And yes, that's a word you can use. No, I didn't make it up. But it doesn't mean that to be bi, you have to love or be attracted to genders equally. It's a term, again, that you can choose to put on yourself. It may or may not be representative of what you really feel. Maybe you want to come up with your own specific term that you're like femphiliac, you're attracted to femininity, perhaps, and that's not exclusive to women either. What if you're attracted to the femininity of a man? That's a totally possible thing. Whatever. It's up to you. You know what you're into. I don't. I'm not going to put any boxes on you. I'm not going to put labels on you. Yeah, I just, you know, avoid unnecessarily labeling yourself and painting yourself into a corner. Speaking of painting yourself into a corner, there's also mythology that bisexuals are more likely to carry sexually transmitted infections. And that goes along with the same idea that bisexuals are more promiscuous. And it's not really true. It is true that if you engage in high-risk sexual activities, you are more likely to come in contact with STIs. You're more likely to have one transmitted to you, especially if you're not using safer sex behaviors. So if you are engaging in unprotected sexual behaviors on a regular basis and with a number of partners and you do not know each other's status, you are more likely to get a sexually transmitted infection, regardless of with whom you are sleeping. Now, the population of women who sleep exclusively with other women is less likely to have STIs. That does not mean it doesn't happen. There are certainly lesbians with HIV. There are certainly lesbians who have every STI. And there are certainly people of every sexual orientation who do and do not have all sorts of them. So it has more to do with who you sleep with rather than what gender. Do not let your sexual orientation give you a false sense of security or of risk. It all has to do with what you do and what precautions you take rather than what label you call yourself. And finally, I'd like to address a mythology that LGBT, well, I guess not B, but maybe LGBTQ people might have about bisexuals, is that they get to be the daywalkers, that they get to walk freely amongst straight society without oppression, and then they want to come and go be cool at the gay bar and get all the swag from the trendiness that is gay, but then they can discard it when they want to. And obviously some folks might behave that way. There might be individual people who, you know, are stealth or whatever about their sexual orientation as they need to, where they announce their queerness in spaces where it is advantageous to do so, and then they hide it in spaces where it is easy for them to do so. But that's not actually most bi people. Most bi people are incredibly frustrated by the fact that they are constantly having to out themselves, because everybody they encounter who has this sort of idea is thinking in a very binary way, that you are either queer or not queer, and that you have to wear it on your sleeve and be really obvious. And it's sort of the same as like a very feminine lesbian or very masculine gay man that like you have to constantly out yourself because you don't fit stereotypes of what people think. That makes it easier, I'm sure, in some ways in your life to just navigate without having to deal with overt discrimination. But that doesn't necessarily make it easier for you to be who you are because you might have to constantly be outing yourself when you're trying to be in queer spaces as well. Let's just say you're at a bar and you want to hit on somebody and they think you're straight. Like that's kind of a challenge. It's a legitimate problem. And other queer people might think that you're being awkward to them if you're trying to get like the family eyebrow raise, being like, yeah, what's up, other queer person? And they're like reading you as straight. And then you're like, oh, okay. That was awkward. That was like going for a high five and they don't go for it. And then you just have your hand up and you feel all some kind of way. So life is not necessarily perfect for a bi person, and they will often encounter discrimination from gay people at a higher rate than they encounter it from straight society, because straight society is like, whatever, y'all are the same, or whatever, y'all are cool, whatever a straight person may think. But a queer person might be more likely to feel resentful of what they think are perceived advantages of being bisexual, and they are actually more likely to say something like, I wouldn't date a bisexual person because, often pertaining to, like, a lesbian might say, I won't date bisexual women because they might leave me for a man. Well, yeah, they might, but they might leave you for another woman, or they might just break up with you because that happens in relationships. People break up. So being bisexual is not a greater index, again, of promiscuity or of cheating. So, you know, that's just, like, your opinion, man. So just to be aware of this sort of low-level simmering discrimination that happens in the queer community against bisexuals. I don't know that it's necessarily anything we pass a law about, but just be aware that it exists, and to know that bisexuals also experience discrimination for their queerness, and they also lose a chunk of their identity anytime they're in a monogamous relationship. They're either read as queer or as straight, and neither one of those things are necessarily true. If you're with someone of the same sex right now, it doesn't mean that you've changed your mind. It doesn't mean that you are not bi. It just means that right now you're dating someone of the same sex, and vice versa in an opposite sex relationship. So going back to the very beginning, is a question about being a bisexual and navigating the world and making your choices in romantic relationships. So the question ultimately about being doomed to be missing out on something if you commit to one person. Well, the reality is if you agree to be monogamous, you're going to miss out on something regardless of your sexual orientation. So again, agree to be monogamous if that's what is satisfying to you and your partner, not because that's the law and you have to. So always thinking about there being more options than that regardless of your orientation. And conceptualizing bisexuality as just a facet of yourself, not necessarily that your desire for male bodies is like food and your desire for female bodies is like water and you have to have both of them to survive. It's more like, what is it that you want out of relationships? What is it that you want out of sexual relationships? And will you find people who you can give them what they need and you will get what you need? So reconceptualizing it outside of those boxes. So I'd like to hear from y'all, too. If you have any comments on this or experiences that you think are relevant, definitely hit me up. And you can also record them and send them to me, and we might throw them in on a future podcast. So feel free to take out your iPhone, use your little voice memos, and then you can email it over, sexwithtimory@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter or facebook.com/sexwithtimory. So thank you very much for listening. Have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
It's maybe the only 9/11-related podcast that's not about conspiracy theories or heroism. Instead of obsessing over the day, I try to never forget, from a left, hopefully feminist perspective, all the disastrous things that have followed. Never Forget Radio on iTunes and Bandcamp.